meet your new best friends. You're gonna find a book you'll love to pieces. The girl behind the counter recommends dollar books and shelves of graphic novels. Titles old and new, you'll find them all. With action figures, board games, toys, and models to add to your new Comic Wednesday haul. The Comic Book Store, the Comic Book Store. Cause that's where the books live, but it's also much more. It's the heart of the art form that we all adore. Your friendly neighborhood Comic Book Store.
Hey there, welcome back to Source Material Live. I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And joining me tonight from the X-Lapsed podcast and Claremont, from Claremont to Claremont, and the Cosmic Treadmill and whatever the heck else he's doing these days, 90 different variants of X-Lapsed as near as I can tell. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Chris Sheehan. How do you do, sir?
Hey, how are you? How are you? We're talking about big monsters again. This is the second show in a row we're doing big monsters, isn't it?
That's right. So Godzilla vs. Kong released in theaters almost a week ago as this recording.
Who won?
Warner Brothers and Legendary. That's who won.
Oh, okay. They always win, damn it.
And the theater chains. They won, too.
They always win.
Yep. So yeah, Godzilla vs. Kong is out in the movies now and on HBO Max. We did a review of the movie last night on Damn You Hollywood, and we're moving on to other things in the Godzilla and Kong and Titan and Kaiju universe. Tonight we're talking about a comic book, and before I even get into this, Chris, let me tell you how we got here, because the whole thing was back in the way back, Jesse and I had talked about, well, we need a book to do that's Godzilla vs. Kong, but there is no such Godzilla vs. Kong book. There are no Kong vs. Godzilla books. There are no books where they fought each other. There are some Kong books, and then there's a shit ton of Godzilla books out there. So I was like, well, what to do? So Jesse was like, we should do our first ever double book review. I'm like, okay. Like, we're going to pick a Godzilla book and pick a Kong book. I think it was like Kong on the Planet of the Apes, because yay, crossovers. And then we were going to... We're going to do, I think we might have actually thought about doing like this, the book we're going to do tonight, which is Godzilla in Hell. And we're going to do them both. But then COVID hit and Jesse was essential, and they moved Godzilla vs. Kong 9,000 times. Like, I think it was supposed to be released in 1976. It's moved that many times.
Mm-hmm.
So the books changed, how I was going to do it changed, and then something happened. I discovered that the production company that made the movie, Legendary, also publishes their own tie-in comics. So for Godzilla King of the Monsters, they publish Godzilla Aftershock. And for Kong Skull Island, they published Birth of Kong or Birth of Kong Skull Island. I don't know, whatever the hell the book was called. Anyway, these were tie-in books for the movies put out by Legendary. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. We should do those books. And then an article came out not that long ago saying they were publishing two books that coincided directly with Godzilla vs. Kong. I'm like, oh, well, if they're coming out timely, we should do those books, right? That makes sense, yeah?
Hmm.
Yeah?
Sure, yeah.
You're not with me. I get it. I understand. Only my brain thinks this way. But it made sense to me at the time. And then they moved the movie again. They moved it from wherever it was. They moved it back a month, then a week, and then a few days. And they just moved all over the place. Meanwhile, the comics were supposed to be published on March 30th. And then that got delayed till today. And I went to go buy them online. And guess what's not available online?
I wonder.
Those particular comics. So I threw my hands up and said, I give fucking up with Legendary, and now I don't even want to do any of their other tie-in comics. And so tonight, we're just going to have fun, Chris. We're going
to
have...
That mean we don't have to talk about a Godzilla book?
No, we're going to have fun talking about a Godzilla book with zero dialogue.
Oh, yes.
Not since the Ultimate Warrior Christmas Special has a book been this weird and rapey. Less rapey than the Warrior book, but still kind of weird. From 2015, the five-part miniseries Godzilla in Hell. Actually, the first issue came out in July of 2015. And it's funny, James Stokoe is listed as the artist and writer. There's no... I would have accepted storyboarded. I would have...
Choreography.
Yeah. I would... I cannot accept the word written. There's no... There's nothing written in this comic. It's a series. We follow Godzilla through various levels of hell. And we just see him do stuff, but there's no talking, there's no dialogue, there's barely any, like, narrator boxes.
Yeah, tiny bits of narration here and there. Very, very purple. Very purple. But, yeah, not a whole lot. There are a few skrionks in there, but,
yeah.
Not much more.
So are you, like, a Godzilla guy or no? You don't seem like a Godzilla guy.
No. I you know, it's funny. The only thing that's ever interested me about Godzilla is, like, that stupid creepypasta online about the haunted Godzilla Nintendo game. That's, like, the only thing that's kind of interested me vaguely, and that's not even that great in itself.
Okay, I'm going to plug my mouse in to charge. I need to hear all about this haunted Nintendo game.
Oh, dude, there are videos on it online. You can go to Reddit and find a bunch of stuff about it. It's interesting. It's it kind of, like all, you know, scary stories on the internet, it kind of ends pretty lamely, but the lead up to get there is pretty neat, and the dedication that this writer, like, this writer actually created his own screenshots to and, like, his own pixel art to, like, put into the game and animate it and stuff. A lot of work went into this, and for that I respect it. The story is really, it's weird. It's a weird story, but it ends in a, you know, in a way like a lot of these stories do end. It's kind of the most obvious sort of ending, but that was kind of interesting. I tried getting into Godzilla through all things, Sven Gulli. You know Sven Gulli?
Only because a mutual acquaintance of ours, while I'm trying to watch fights on a Saturday night, will incessantly tag Sven Gulli to the point where I want to throw my phone into the backyard.
The wife and I were watching, we were watching some of the Sven Gulli stuff.
I don't know what that is.
What's that? Sven Gulli?
Yeah, I don't know what Sven Gulli is.
Oh, he is he's like an old school horror movie host, like they used to have back in the day. And he
like Vincent Price or Elvira or the Crypt Keeper?
Exactly. Just like kind of silly, kind of hokey, kind of corny, but he hosts all the classic horror movies.
Okay.
So the wife and I were getting into that, trying to like watch some, you know, old black and white horror movies and stuff. And it was a pretty good time. And then they announced like for the month of March 2018, maybe 2019. It was a few years ago. The entire month of March, every Saturday was going to be a Godzilla movie. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll try the first one. And we did. And it was like, nope. This is boring. This is very boring.
And so this became his cultural icon, eh?
Yeah, and that was the last time we watched Sven Gulli too, I think. So we fell off the Sven Gulli wagon and never really got back on. All thanks to Godzilla.
Yeah, that's funny. I talked about this on the Damn You Hollywood review of the movie that I did not grow up with Godzilla. Godzilla was not one of those things I followed as a kid. I didn't watch the cartoon when that was a thing. I to this day haven't seen the first and last Godzilla movie. The first Godzilla movie I think I ever saw was the Roland Emmerich movie from the late 90s with Matthew Broderick and half the cast of The Simpsons.
Okay. Is that the one where the Wallflowers did that We Can Be Heroes remake from David Bowie?
Maybe. It's the one where Green Day re-released Brain Stew, I believe it was, with Godzilla screaming. It's also the one where...
Is that before they decided they were political?
Yes, way before.
Okay.
My wife hates that. My wife, we're going to see them this summer, crossing my fingers. And my wife and I both like the early Green Day stuff, but when they got... Yep. But she absolutely hates the political stuff. They did that one like rock opera with, I guess it's the hand grenade or whatever, and she's like, and that's when she noped out.
Yeah, anyway. I liked Dookie, and that was about it.
Yeah, the one I think it's around the time where they do the Good Riddance, Hope You Had the Time of Your Life. I think that album is about the last one that I really enjoyed by them. Anyway, that album, the big single from the 1998, I believe, Godzilla movie was Sean Puffy Combs, doing "Come With Me," where he sampled Led Zeppelin. You remember that?
I think I do. Yeah, I think I do. Here, I'm looking at the soundtrack. Yeah, there was the Heroes, the remake of the Bowie song from the Wallflowers is on there.
Yep. Yeah. It's very 90s.
It's very of its time. Wow. Yeah. Ben Folds 5. When do you never see those guys?
And now he's just Ben Folds if he's even doing anything at all. In any case, that was the very first Godzilla film I'd ever seen, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
Jamiroquai, holy shit.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
But what I've been told by Godzilla experts is it's a terrible movie, and it's the worst representation of Godzilla they've ever seen. Okay. They tried something.
Poor Godzilla, they whiffed. Getting jobbed out.
They tried something. They whiffed. They didn't capture the spirit of Godzilla. I saw the 2014 Godzilla. I know people who love it. I think it's like the best Godzilla movie ever. It's fine. Someday I'll do a full review of it because that's the one. It's the one of that series we never did. It was right in that sweet spot when I wasn't reviewing movies. And same thing with King Kong. I've never seen the 1933 one. I've never seen the 1976 one. King Kong. Never watched the cartoon. Never really been a King Kong fan. And I did see. I saw the 2005 Peter Jackson one. But, so,
isn't that
like,
where he fights a spider for like 45 minutes?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
In any case, so it's funny to be in like my mid 40s now, and like God's, you know, as I said on the podcast, Godzilla versus Kong has made me the happiest I've been since the Avengers movie came out, the last one. And in many ways, more so than that. So, the point of all of this is, I'm probably one of the last people on Earth who needs to be reviewing a Godzilla book, but here we are.
I'm the other last guy who should be doing it.
So, yeah, this will be an experience. All right, so so like I said, 2015, and every issue had a different creative team on it. So this is Bobby Curnow, who's the editor, James Stokoe, who's the artist, cover artist and writer. Sarah Richards did, I think, another part of the cover. And then we have Chris Mowry and Jeff Zarno. And the synopsis, such as it is, goes like this. Godzilla meets his greatest adversary of all time, the impossible Torches of Hell. So yeah, this is Dante's Inferno starring Godzilla.
You just recapped the entire issue there.
Each issue of this special miniseries will see Godzilla enter a new level of the underworld to do battle with the impossible. All right, so issue number one, art and story by James Stokoe, edits Bobby Curnow, creative consultant Chris Mowry. And this is by IDW Publishing. All right, so we open with Godzilla falling through the sky into hell. Mm-hmm. And it says Godzilla in hell. So now you know what book you're reading. Mm-hmm. Reading, in quotes.
Looking at.
And he hits the dirt. Debris goes everywhere, and Godzilla gets up, and he is nonplussed, and he's looking around like, what the hell, man? And in our only bit of written dialogue, such as it is in this entire affair, there is a stone edifice that says, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here," which makes sense. It's hell. And what does Godzilla do, Chris?
It offends him greatly. He destroys it.
Yep. He uses his atomic breath, and down it goes. He's like, that's
maybe
enough
he
of
just
that.
Noticed that there was actual words in the book, and he's like, wait a minute, I can't have that.
The fuck out of here with your learning, you nerds. This is Godzilla.
We can't read, come on.
This is Godzilla. We ain't got time for book learning, you fancy pants. And so Godzilla goes traipsing about, and he sees this cross between a Martian landscape in an industrial village? I don't know what this is.
Yeah. But I do want to say the art here is pretty fantastic.
Yes.
So we're not ragging on every bit of the creative process here. The art here is lovely.
Oh, no, yeah. If you're a person who... I if you're a person who is a, is an actual artist, a visual artist, a painter of some kind, you know, if you're like a Ben Colon, if you're an Alexis Haina, you're somebody who's, you know, a graphic designer, you should love this book. I actually had Winfrey read it today because I wanted to get his opinion on it, and he was like, well, it's a bit thin, but the art is lovely.
2.5 minutes later, he wrote back and said...
So I'm done now, and... This is an artfully done coloring book. Anyway, so Godzilla stomps up to one of the smokestacks, and a Cthulhu creature pops out?
Yeah, some sort of a Lovecraftian horror, yeah.
Yeah, and Godzilla makes short work of it, and he fucks off, and he sees this cloud just lightly above ground, and he growls at it because he's Godzilla. And the cloud is made up of people. It's made of people. And it engulfs him. And he's drowning in people.
Yep.
And he gets out of it, and he looks across the way, and he sees what appears to be yet another Godzilla. This one a bit scratched up.
Darker and battle damaged, yeah.
Yeah, a little worse for wear. And like any good superhero movie, he has to fight himself. And so he does. And he bites him. But trickery is afoot. This particular iteration of Godzilla sprouts all kinds of teeth and tentacles and claws and all kinds of nastiness. This is gross, Chris.
It is.
And it turns into some sort of alien horror, and it starts to wrap up Godzilla and toss him about. And it just pounds him into mush, and Godzilla hits it with its atomic breath, and it dies.
And wins, yeah.
It's a lot of Godzilla for you. And it hits.
LOL, Godzilla wins, yeah.
Da, 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 da. But wait. Like a good horror monster, it resurrects and comes back to life, and now looks even more horrifying. And now it looks like the Sarlacc from Return of the Jedi. Do you know what that is?
That's the hole.
Yes.
With teeth.
The toothy hole.
Boba Fett. Spoiler alert.
It's from 1987. And it draws Godzilla into its maw, and he chews him up. But it's Godzilla, and so he yells. And it explodes. He kipped out. He kipped up. And then the earth swallows him whole. And he drops down to another level of hell. And that is the end of the exciting issue one. What did you think of issue one?
You know, it's a beautiful book here. The artist involved here was a screw. What's his name? I was going to say something untoward. What? There he is. Very, very gifted artist here. I don't want to bury the lead here, but this is a 5-issue story that didn't need 5 pages, much less however many we've got here.
I think it's an interesting idea. I think the idea of what if we... And it's funny because people have been saying... The MonsterVerse movies that have been coming out have successively... minimize the human characters and the human drama and more focused on the monsters, which is why everyone goes to begin with. So with Godzilla 2014, you had a lot of human beings and people didn't like it. And in Godzilla vs. Kong, 3 movies later, you have almost no human drama and no human characters and people loved it. To which somebody on Twitter was like, why can't we just have a Godzilla Kong movie with no humans and no human drama? And it be a silent film. Not silent, like there's no sound at all.
Sure.
But like no
dialogue.
Yeah. And I kind of think, like, you know, people are saying that now, and this precedes this by 6 years, but I think, like, they're experimenting with that idea. What if you took this this character who does not speak any traditional language and put him in these various perils, and what is that like? And I think it's an interesting idea. I'm not sure if it was executed
all that
great.
You can do that in film. That you could definitely do that in film because there's action, there's movement, there's sound, there's explosions, there's all this stuff. In a comic book, though, it doesn't work. It's a comic, you know, by definition, is a little bit more static than a film.
Right.
And to just, like, watch Godzilla lumber around, I mean, I think you need the human element in a, if you're going to do a, like we've read with the what the hell was it, the Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
That's a story about humans dealing with these monsters here. If you want to make Godzilla the star of it, then maybe present, I mean, you can't do it with this hell book, but I mean, have him protecting people, have him attacking people.
I think a way to have done that would have been have him taunted by Satan.
Sure, do anything, just and make it one issue long.
Yeah.
They're charging $4 for this. There are no words in it. It's $4. You spend $4 fucking dollars, and you spend... I mean, there's no exaggeration here. I read all five of these issues today in less than 15 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, there's not a dollar for entertainment ratio there that's favorable, no matter how nice it looks. But
right.
I mean, I could buy a painting. I could buy a print. I don't need this in sequential art because it's barely that.
I think like maybe like a double size standard average comic with really nice paper, like, you know, fine, smooth paper, and really then focus on the art, and then we're done with this.
Yeah.
And then maybe have someone antagonizing him. You know, you will repent for... I mean, they do this kind of later with the Pixies. We'll get to it. But, you know, it's like, you will repent for your sins, Godzilla. You will answer for the people and the things you have hurt.
Does Godzilla have a conscience?
Right.
Does he have humanity, or is he just a force of nature?
I mean, it depends on your interpretation. There have been various interpretations of Godzilla. Clearly, the earliest interpretation of Godzilla is he's a metaphor for the atomic bomb and the destruction of the U.S. war machine. Others have him. He's an animal doing animal things. Others have him as, you know, being driven by, you know, his alpha predatorness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it really depends on how you see it. Now, I haven't read, like, the Marvel Godzilla books and, mm-hmm. you know, these various other companies that have done multiple volumes of Godzilla stories. So maybe in some of these he talks.
I read a little bit of the Marvel one, and it stars scientists for a good mm-hmm. portion of it. Because one of the scientists from that was actually part of the X-Men science team like 10 years ago, which was a weird callback to a book that people didn't realize was like in continuity.
I'm so happy you're on this show to point that out, that the X-Men guy was like, yeah, there's a character in a Godzilla book that's also in the X-Men books.
That's it. But this Godzilla book that we just talked about sold 15,000 copies, or shipped 15,000 copies. So I don't know if that's good numbers for IDW in 2015, but... It doesn't seem like good numbers overall.
Is that more or less than Marvel?
That is, I want to say that's less than Marvel.
God.
Yeah.
I don't see how they made money on this. All right. Issue number 2, Godzilla descends further into the pit. Godzilla navigates a city that can never be destroyed as demonic versions of his greatest foes wait for the perfect moment to strike. So yeah, this is Godzilla, King of the Monsters in Hell. All righty. We open up our book here. Now, this is a different group of people. This is art and story by Bob Eggleton. The editor stays the same. It's Bobby Kernow. And letterer is creative consultant is Chris Mowry. Alrighty. Now, here, we actually get some dialogue. Not dialogue, but we get some narration boxes. This is probably my favorite issue for this reason, because at least this felt like a comic book. And these are also... Mm-hmm. This is also some of the best art in the book. These are beautifully painted.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. This is the first time I really feel like he's in hell, by the way, this issue. Because everything else just feels like he's in weird, like, nightmare science. Science fiction land. Like, this mm-hmm. feels like he's really walking through Dante's Inferno. The Leviathan Godzilla wakes within a hellish landscape. The abysmal plane of the underworld presenting all which has failed or gone wrong. Once great cities in ruins, industrial disasters run amok. And a familiar, unearthly fire of man rends the sky with colossal mushrooms. Countless lost souls have been hurled, not as participants, but as witnesses, into a crumbling and hopeless void. This is not his final destination.
but a journey, a test. Okay, all right. You hooked me, Buck. The Abyss. Godzilla. In Hell. A really beautiful painting, I have to say again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there were giants in the earth in those days. Lost, possessed effigies of great kaiju. The demon Rodan, with his great wings, once a monster of the clear blue skies. Yet here in this underworld, he is other. And so we see Rodan in the eye of Godzilla. Leathery wings remorselessly fan the fire and heat as he rises to do battle. And Godzilla hits him with his atomic breath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he misses. He misses Rodan. Rodan's too fast for him. So what do you think this is? Like charcoal? What kind of painting do you think this is?
You know, I don't know. It looks kind of like a pencil, like a probably charcoal. You're probably right.
Yeah, it's either charcoal or watercolors. Who soars into the ash cloud and zooms back for another attack? What is this demon besieging him for? And again, the winged one returns for another attack. The Leviathan uses pure brute strength as his assailant blunders within reach. And then we get a sound effect, schwack, as Rodan takes a tail to the face. And down he goes, like an airplane. Spinning wildly, the great winged demon crashes into one of the doomed cities. Ruination upon ruination, ashes and dust. The Leviathan senses chilling light, another void in this arena of the underworld. A colder one, much colder. And so Godzilla fucks off into the cold.
Mm-hmm.
In eternity of ice and frozen devastation, another tribulation, and yet something stirs. Oh no, big slim dog. And boom, it's King Ghidorah. No, that's not King Ghidorah. This one, that's the fuck's this thing's name? Anguirus, which is like a type of spiny dinosaur type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they fight and fight and fight.
That's
and
what
fight
they do.
Fight.
Yeah.
A battle rages, a battle with silent witnesses. And Anguirus takes a bite of Godzilla. No, wait. No, yeah, he bit him.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla's like, don't bite me. And he flings him. Like, get off, stupid.
Yep, snapmare.
And he throws him into the ice. But Godzilla, too heavy for the ice he's standing on, falls through again into a new realm of hell. The deluge. The eternal ocean. The Leviathan
arrives.
The watery
hell.
Yes. And raises the stormy wind, lifting up the waves of the sea from treacherous depths where the new demon lurks. Emerges the demon Varan, and they fight and fight and fight and fight and fight, 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 mm-hmm. fight, 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 fight.
This is like that Bruce Lee movie where he like climbs up the temple, right?
Yeah,
just in reverse.
All right, so he dunks him in the water, and that's the end of him. But here he is, King Ghidorah, the star, the villain, the antagonist of King of the Monsters. The crux of it all. The reason the Leviathan was brought into this horrific netherworld. King Ghidorah, the great three-headed dragon, the golden devil that materializes from the blinding light. And they fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. Fight, 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 fight. And Godzilla goes into a whirlpool. And that's the end. So, high marks for the art. It's the best art of the entire series.
It's very nice.
I enjoyed the narration. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it actually added to the book. I wish there was more of this, but I guess how many different ways can you say they fight and fight?
Yeah.
And fight and fight and fight.
And it was a little up its own ass. the narration was a little purple.
A little, a little. All right, issue number 3. And this is September of 2015. What brought Godzilla to hell? A glimpse of Godzilla's greatest battle gives clues. But what will happen when Godzilla faces a rematch with the same foe in the underworld? Yeah, I think this is where it started to lose me.
Yeah.
This one gets really weird, if I remember correctly. Also, the art's a little on the juvenile side. This feels like something... Content-wise, it's not something I would want my 7-year-old to read, but looks-wise, I'm like, this seems like a book for you.
Okay.
So this is Ulysses Farinas and Eric Freitas, art by Buster Moody, color assist by Ludwig Laguna Alimba, edits by Barbara Kerno, and then letters and creative Sultan Chris Mowry. All right, and so we see a city aflame with rock and roll. And stuff's flying out of the sky, and oh, there he is, it's Space Godzilla, with crystals coming out of his back and crystals coming out of his tail, and he shops at Zales.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The diamond store.
That's right, Space Godzilla, with a little Frenchy, fiery thing on his head. And Godzilla hits him with his atomic breath. And I guess the artist is trying to tell us something by having them fight where they are. What is that called again? Do you know what that statue is? It's got a very famous name.
The Christ the Redeemer?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, they're in, where is that? Brazil?
Brazil, yeah.
Rio, maybe? I don't know.
Yep, which is where all the good fights, mixed martial arts, take place, in Brazil.
That's where some wrestling matches, what we're going to be talking about in a few days, took place.
Did they really? In Brazil?
Oh, they were jumping off the Christ the Redeemer statue.
All right, so we get a pan-out shot, and we see the Earth just, you know, hanging out in space. And then we're back down on the ground again, and they're fussing and a-fighting. They are actually, what they are doing is they are powering up. Mm-hmm. Like, they are Power Ranger monsters.
Or Dragon Ball characters.
Yeah. And the Space Gods, I should be high while reading this. Space Godzilla.
I'm not sure we're not.
Powers up so much, he blows up the statue. The Christ Redeemer?
Cristo de Redeemer.
Okay. And Space Godzilla hits him with his electric fire breath.
Mm-hmm.
And Godzilla, yep, and Space Godzilla get into a collar and elbow tie-up.
Mm-hmm. What a maneuver!
And Godzilla hits him with his atomic breath.
Back body drop!
And of course he dies. And then Godzilla, having fucked up and used too much of his atomic breath, setting up everything on fire, sets himself on fire, and he burns. And so what does he do to put himself? Does he stop, drop, and roll? Does he dive into the drink? He hits him with his atomic breath.
Yep.
And everything goes purple and blows up all atomically. And the Earth explodes. Everyone dies.
Done.
Yep. It's gone.
Well, we had a pretty good run.
Yep. We always knew it would be a giant lizard would be our undoing in the end.
That's what they say.
And so Godzilla wakes up. And an army of shield-wielding, sword-carrying pixies confront him.
I think one of them's Hawkman, and he's going to die. Hey-o! Callback.
Well done. And they take him to this living mountain, kind of looks like the trash heap from Fraggle Rock. And Godzilla's looking at it.
And it looks back.
And, oh, we get some dialogue, okay? We get very deep, meaningful, thematic dialogue here, Chris. Submit, serve peace. Submit, serve peace. Submit, serve peace.
Tastes great.
Less filling.
Mm-hmm.
And Godzilla looks at it, and it looks back at him, and he kills a bug.
That's it. Just squashes it. Just, I think that was Hawkman.
Just squashes one of the pixies. And having not convinced Godzilla to submit and serve peace, they continue to do so. Serve peace, submit, serve peace, submit. You mustn't defy peace. You shall learn to submit to peace. Don't you understand, Godzilla? It is better to be peaceful than it is to make war. You atomic metaphor, you.
Mm-hmm.
And the mountain gives off purple fire waves. And knocks Godzilla down a hole. And
he does
he
that
hears,
a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on here. It says, submit to peace. Oh, and Godzilla falls to another level of hell. And he's on ice again of some sort. But
looks like it.
Space Godzilla's underneath the ice. And he says, oh, mwah! Mwah! Someday my kid's going to listen to it while he's sleeping, and that's going to wake him up. Welcome to hell. Welcome to hell. Welcome to hell. Repetitive, isn't it? Welcome to hell. Consume his heart. Enter its throat. Sounds like that line's from a porno. Welcome to hell. Consume his heart. Enter its throat. The pixies are saying. Now they look kind of like bats. And so Godzilla eats them. It's just start eating the bats. He's eating the little bats. And the space Godzilla's like, why does nothing affect you? Why are you so nonplussed by everything? And he jumps on him and he attacks him and he tackles him. And a hand comes from the ice and grabs him. And now he's trying to choke him with the bats. And there's another explosion. And out come the pixie fairy warrior dudes. Serve us, submit to us, join our army. And they dive into Godzilla's mouth and Godzilla eats them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets hit with the lightning fire from Space Godzilla. And Godzilla, who sells nothing, like he's fucking the ultimate warrior. It's just nothing at all. Nothing affects him. Attacks nothing. Space Godzilla, who's like, what the fuck, man? And he shatters his little crystals. But he hits him with the fire lightning again. And it bounces off Godzilla, because now he has a shield. Remember when you were a little kid? Like, I shot you. Well, I have a personal shield.
You keep upping the ante. Well, no, this one goes through shields. Like, well, no, I have this shield, too.
Right.
Oh, but now you're standing in lava. No, I'm wearing lava-defying boots. Oh, just get the hell out of here.
I'm going to go inside and watch Westerns with my dad.
Yeah.
And so his fire lightning bounces off of Godzilla and hits him, and he explodes. And the space Godzilla guts everywhere. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pixies say, well, we helped.
They did.
They must have given him the shield is what happened. He says, now that we aided you in your victory against Space Godzilla. By the way, I didn't know that's what he was called. And I, like I said, I don't know a lot of the monsters in the Monsterverse. You know, I've heard some stuff through, you know, time and just, you know, the popularity of it all. But I there are certain things I don't know. So when I saw him, I'm like, oh, I don't know what that is. And I didn't feel like looking it up. I just wanted to finish the book. And then I saw this line. We aided you in your victory against Space Godzilla. I almost fell in my chair laughing.
Yep.
Fucking Space Godzilla. Who wrote this? An 8-year-old? You shall serve us in our battle against hell. Serve peace. Submit. Serve peace. And Godzilla fucks off. Godzilla rejects this entire premise and he hits it with his atomic breath. And so they do a Daffy Duck in the Robin Hood Daffy cartoon. All right, you don't have to join us. We'll join you. Shake hands with Friar Duck. We submit, Godzilla. You are the one we worship. And then he just bites him and eats him.
Dude.
And that's the end. Issue number 3, Chris.
Oh, jeez. Sometimes the world looks perfect. Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what the odds are this time, nothing's going to stand in my way.
Not
this flame in my heart, like a long-lost friend, gives every dark street a light at the end. Godzilla.
Whoa, they say he's got to go. Go, go, Godzilla. For you listeners of the Source Material Live podcast...
We're sorry.
...and the Rattlington Broadcasting Network on W2M... Grammarly is offering a free download of the Grammarly software. Grammarly's AI-powered products help people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps you write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. To download Grammarly today, go to getgrammarly.com/W2M network. Again, that's getgrammarly.com/W2M network to download Grammarly for RAR.
Do you think they help when you don't use words?
I was thinking, I don't know how much Grammarly would have helped you with this book. Yeah. Maybe it might have helped you find, like, you know, sound words and stuff.
Could
know,
like be.
Skrionk.
Could be. Yeah.
And shaboom. And marr.
We need the onomatopoeia in here.
Thank you. Couldn't remember the thing there. Godzilla's journey is stymied in issue number 4 by an impenetrable wall of living flesh, like you do. Cornered with nowhere to go, he is beset by devilish versions of his greatest foes. Didn't we do this already?
I thought we already been here.
Destroyer. Zoya, the Destroyer. No, wait, that's from Glow. And King Ghidorah, who we already saw in the issue before, in the second issue. What the fuck,
like thrice,
man?
Yeah.
Now we're using the same gimmicks over and over again. Goddamn, pal.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't even been 7 years yet.
All right. Issue number 4, written, in quotes, by Brandon Seifert. Art by Ibrahim Mustafa, who I believe used to come out with Muhammad Hussein in the WWE. colors by Marissa Luis and the rest of our usual creative team. All right, there's your Skrionk that you were talking about.
There it is.
Godzilla's just mucking about, and he's standing on top of his foes, his defeated foes, King Ghidorah and the other dude. But they come back to life. They kip up. They go, reek, creek, reek, creek. And Godzilla turns around and is like, fuck off. And they have a laser fight. They are all breathing some sort of weaponish breath.
Yep. One
purple, yellow, and blue atomic. And finally, the bat-looking dinosaur thing gives up and he gets hit in the face. And then Godzilla goes after Ghidorah. Ghidorah tries to stomp on him. Now I'm doing commentary for the fight.
Oh boy.
They start destroying the city around them like you do when you're a big kaiju. Ghidorah grabs Godzilla and he takes him into the air and he drops him. And Godzilla is impaled on what looks to be the space needle. But Godzilla gets better. Almost immediately.
Yep.
And he breathes atomic fire. But then that head wing dinosaur guy comes down and he kicks Godzilla. And Chris, what does he do next?
He wins.
He hits him with his atomic breath. So if you want to play a drinking game, start this podcast over again. And every time I say he hits him with his atomic breath, take a drink. And we'll see you at the hospital for detox.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Godzilla wins, like you said, but he's beset upon by what look like the Insecticons from the Transformers. And he looks down and he sees a severed head, his own severed head. And he looks up and he's like, what the fuck, man? This is a Godzilla book. Why are we doing surreal? And
because we have pages to fill, pal.
But the monsters are back. We've got Ghidorah, who's wrapping him up and biting him in the neck, and then the other dude's biting him on the shoulder, and down goes Godzilla. And then something... Oh, and then they start fighting amongst themselves, it looks like. Like, arguing over his corpse. Then they all team up, because they decide they're going to take down this wall. Okay. And so they knock a hole in and they cross into West Germany.
They've been looking for freedom.
Yeah. And that's the end of issue 4. Really, we really peaked with issue number 2. This has gotten monotonous.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we talked about how quickly this read. It was still boring, despite the fact that it was quick.
Yeah, I was kind of done with this after the second one. I think it's a neat idea, but you have to... You're reusing the same enemies in multiple issues, that's a huge mistake. This needed to be... Every issue needed to be distinctly different with no repetition for it to work.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just... This doesn't need so many pages here. I don't know how they sold this, if they sold it as, like, an artist showcase. If that's the case, then sure. Okay, fine. I don't think it lends itself to critique, but as an artist showcase, where if this was produced, it's like we have five issues from these fantastic artists who are going to give their own spin on this. I mean, it is what it is.
When we talk, and also, I mean, we had a good laugh at it, but when we talked about the Ultimate Warrior thing, it was, here are a dozen or so interpretations of the Ultimate Warrior and his wild and manic fantasies about Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I think had it been that, it was not a story, but kind of impressions of Godzilla in hell done by different artists, and that's just the book. It's a picture book of different interpretations of Godzilla in hell. Okay,
I think that's what it's supposed to have been. because like you said, we have these repeating these repetitive villains, or I guess opponents, where maybe just the different artists wanted to have their own spin on Space Godzilla or Mega Gon or whatever the hell a Gon it is. there's no reason for this to exist other than that.
Yeah. Re-edit this, take the story out of it, change up the art a little bit, and make it a coffee table book. That I think.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a print book. Yeah.
Godzilla's final foray into the depths of hell will prove to be his most challenging yet. There hasn't been much of a challenge thus far. He died. Excuse me. He died and got better immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Will Godzilla be able to find his way back to the living world? An unstoppable force unlike any other has seen bars his way. Terrific. And this thing wraps up in this final issue here in November of 2015. So, Godzilla in Hell, issue number 5, written and illustrated, by Dave Wachter. Alrighty, and so Godzilla's traipsing through limbo, it looks like. And a snowflake falls, and suddenly it's winter. Winter has come. And he's freezing. But then it's hot. And lava-y. And hellish. So now he's hot. And he walks across a stone bridge. But it cracks. And he falls. And he's on land again. And he knocks a bunch of stalagmites over. And he fucks off. And out of the wood are these eyeless bat
fairy things.
And they come out of the wood and they start to bite Godzilla. They swarm him, Christian. They swarm him. And
he
Godzilla
gets
yells
up
at
good.
Him. Yep. And Godzilla yells at him, and there's something in the mountains and is looking at Godzilla and bemused. And a rock slide lands on Godzilla. People are going to be like, is he just making this shit up? Nope.
No, this is all too real.
And so he falls in a lock down the side of the mountain, and rocks fall on top of his head. And always be set again by the things. The toothy, eyeless bat things.
Yes.
And then Godzilla's like, all right. And he stands up, and he's like, come at me, bro. And so they do.
They do.
And they start biting Godzilla. And they eat his flesh. And they eat his muscle. And he has nothing left but a pile of bones. Bones, Christian. And the bones fall down. But Godzilla, even in death and in a million pieces, is too much for these things.
Da, da.
And they cough him back out because they can't hold him down. And so they vomit Godzilla's skin back up, and it takes its form over the skeleton again.
Mm-hmm. Science.
And Godzilla is now made up of these things. And then he takes a bath, and now he's fine.
It's a cool visual. It's a cool visual.
Yeah, it's all right.
Doesn't make sense, but it's a cool visual.
Yeah. This is clearly written while on acid.
Oh, boy. I think it's been read while it's on acid.
Yeah. Can we do this? Can we start this podcast? I'm going to delete this. Can we start this over again, but let's trip balls and then do it?
I'm going to smack myself with a frying pan many, many times.
Go ask your wife if she can quick run to the corner store and get you LSD.
Yes. Okay? Can I have a bag of that, please?
I'm going to go to a marijuana dispensary.
Can I
and
DoorDash that?
Yeah. I'm going to go to the local marijuana dispensary here in Florida and get fucked up. And then we'll come back and do this again. It'll be a much better book.
Oh, boy.
Don't do drugs, kids. Did you know, Christian, of X-Lapsed and from Claremont to Claremont and the Cosmic Treadmill, that it is better to conquer yourself than to win a thousand battles?
I hear someone famous said that once.
Then, and only then, Christian, the victory is yours. It cannot be taken from you. No, sir. Not by angels or demons. Heaven or hell, says the Buddha. And I know that because it says it on the page.
I thought that, I really thought that was a tenet of Destrucity for a second.
You're right. It says, it cannot be taken from you, not by angels or demons, heaven or hell, queer and don't make the world work. Got it.
And you tell that big sack of shit that told you Santa Claus wasn't real.
You take the two pilots, don't you understand? And so Godzilla escapes hell, and he raises from the water, and that is the end of Godzilla in Hell. And the first comment on the site that I'm reading this off of is beautiful book, but what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm looking at a Godzilla wiki right now, and I've got, overall, while not what I initially expected the miniseries would be, this was a fantastic journey to go on alongside Goji. Definitely a must-have. The concept alone is fantastic enough to warrant a quick page flipping at the comic shop to see what it has in store. Side note, I think it's screonking hilarious that the comic got featured on the official site of the Church of Satan.
Perfect. I really want to pitch this to Legendary. When they decided to take their movie property from Universal to Warner Brothers, and they decided that they wanted to do a kaiju cinematic universe because the Avengers had made a lot of money, and everyone was like, dude, you fucking that, man. So now everyone's doing cinematic universes. They were all the rage at one point. We almost got, had they done it competently and it made money, we almost got a Universal Monster cinematic universe with like Dracula and the Mummy and shit like that. Anyway, when they conceptualized what
Abbott
is now
and Costello meet them still?
I hope so. I hope that would have been their Avengers.
There it is.
When they conceptualized what is now known as the Monsterverse, which is the kaiju, the Titans, Godzilla, etc.
We just throw verse on the end of things like we throw gate on the end of words, right?
Yep.
That's the peak of creativity. This is the Chris verse. Yeah,
that's right.
Go.
You're living in the Rattlers verse.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Yeah, you're fine. So as Marvel's long-term plan was to create individual movies of different Avengers and, in their own standalone stories, but then bring them together to face a common enemy in an Avengers movie, and that was so wildly successful it changed film forever. So too did they conceptualize the MonsterVerse as ending with Godzilla versus Kong. And so there may be some ideas on the table, but the point that I'm getting to is that the people at Legendary and the producers and developers of this film series hadn't really planned to go past Godzilla versus Kong. But there's currently a hashtag move. When people aren't trying to restore the Snyderverse or get Josh Whedon and...
Joss Whedon. Oh, no.
And Jeff Johns fired from life. The other thing that's very popular right now is continuing the MonsterVerse. And so that was a long, winding way to get to this. I want to pitch this as a movie. I want to see Godzilla in Hell, but I want it 10,000 BC style, and let's develop this a little bit more, and let's not use the same fucking villains over and over and over again. So, like, Zombie Ghidorah you do once, but once he beats Zombie Ghidorah, don't do it again. And let's really...
What if we have, in each, 20-minute bit of this film, it's different special effects artists, and they all want to do Ghidorah?
The answer is no. Somebody has to be in a fucking adult.
No, that's hate speech.
Have you heard about the racist trees? Speaking of hate speech, have you heard about the racist trees? Speaking of hate speech,
no.
Okay, so in Portland, I believe it is, a school decided to change its mascot like you do.
Okay.
I don't know what it once was. I don't know if it was like an offensive Native American or anything like that, or some sort of stereotype. But whatever it once,
if it's like schools in Arizona, they're all Mustangs. Every school out here is the Mustangs.
Everyone's a horse, eh? Mm-hmm. All right. So whatever this mascot once was, they decided it shall not be any longer, and they are taking ideas as to what this mascot should be. And somebody said, "We live in a very woody, forestry state. We live in a place with a lot of trees, and trees give life. They give oxygen. This is what we know about trees, that without them we would all die because there'd be no air on this planet, right?"
Gotcha.
Trees are a good thing. I think we can all agree on that. Somebody raised an objection. I don't remember what this person's name was, but one person, who we'll just call the Lorax and spoke for the trees, said, "Okay, but what if you're black and you look at a tree and you associate it with lynchings? Do we want to have a mascot that some people might associate with lynchings and feel triggered and hurt? And, is that something, is that a thorny pile of nonsense we really want to get ourselves wrapped up in?"
Oh, boy.
And so they delayed a vote on what the mascot should be so that they could have a discussion about whether the nature of trees will trigger some people to envision lynchings.
So we should just cancel Arbor Day right now.
Yeah. You fuck that right out of there.
Oh, boy.
Call it something
Eddie
else.
Albert. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We Columbus Day is now something else, isn't it?
I think it's Indigenous People Day, Indigenous Persons Day, something like that.
So that's gone, and we need to now turn Arbor Day into something else. So anyway, Godzilla in Hell. I want to see the movie. What do you think?
I wouldn't see it, but
you don't see anything. That doesn't matter.
I don't see any movies, but I'm here on this Godzilla fan site, and someone, Toon King 1985, said, "Am I the only one?" And before I even finish the sentence, "Am I the only one who hates it when motherfuckers use 'am I the only one' to start a sentence?" You're never the only one there, Sunshine. You're not that unique. You're not that special.
Statistically, but, you're in a world of billions of people. You can't possibly be the only one doing anything.
Exactly. And it's right up there with, is it just me? Yeah, it's just you.
Oh, yeah, it's not fuckface.
So Toon King wants to know if he's the only one, or if they are the only one who thinks Godzilla in Hell could possibly be inspired by the rumored unmade film Godzilla versus the Devil.
I really thought that sentence was going to end with Godzilla versus Bambi.
I wish.
Have you
that
ever seen
I might
that?
See.
Have you ever seen the short film Godzilla versus Bambi?
No.
You've never seen Godzilla versus Bambi?
Still no.
You've never... All right. hang on. Godzilla... versus Bambi.
Zombie Jiger says, "Really? This is just as bad as or worse than the Ultraman Anime Girl Project thing."
Jesus Christ. Everything is an ad. I'm going to send you something real quick. We're going to watch this together.
Cool.
Right, and then we're going to end the show.
Okay.
You Zach want me to send Core it to you?
Replies with... "How is this bad exactly? We're getting more Godzilla comics."
Oh. Do you want me to send it to you in Twitter?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Here you go.
Get right. over there.
Tell me when you press play. And I'm going to mute this because I don't need to hear the stupid Falcon and the Winter Soldier commercial.
Adblock. Use Adblock.
All right. I'm skipping. Tell me when you're ready, and we'll hit play at the same time.
Okay, I am... Don't start yet. Come on, go back. I'm rolling it back to zero. And Bambi meets Godzilla, 1969 HQ. Okay, 3, 2, 1, play.
All right, and we see Bambi.
It's Bambi.
And there's little Bambi, and there's our title credits. Bambi meets Godzilla.
and he's just eating a little grass.
Surrounded by flowers.
Yeah. This is written by Mary Newland. Yeah. Marv Newland.
Marv, yeah.
No, Mary would ever write this.
No.
But Marv definitely would.
I think so.
All right. Screenplay
same dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Marv Newland.
Bambi looks like maybe he's itchy. Is Bambi a boy or a girl?
It's a boy. Bambi grew up to be a boy.
Bambi's wardrobe was supplied by Marv.
Okay.
I'm starting to think this is a comedy. Marv was produced by his parents. That's good.
Down comes Godzilla's foot. Poor Bambi is crushed. Crushed, I tell you.
Poor Bambi didn't even see it coming. The end. No. Is there an after credits sequence?
Where they resurrect Bambi?
We gratefully acknowledge the city of Tokyo.
Because of course we do.
Of course. I mean, Tokyo's a real thing, right? For their help in obtaining Godzilla for this film.
I think Godzilla in Hell has to reference Bambi versus Godzilla, where like Bambi gets revenge. And I actually think there is a Bambi, Bambi's Revenge on Godzilla film.
Oh boy. Let's see here. Here is indie animation pioneer Marv Newland's original Bambi Meets Godzilla, just as he drew it for less than $300. He spent $300 on this?
Well, he had to animate it.
In 1969? Isn't that like $4 billion today?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you pitched a Bambi Meets Godzilla movie in today's film environment, you would absolutely at least get $200 million.
Now, is Bambi owned by Disney, or is Bambi like its own thing that Disney just co-opted?
I'd have to do some research. I mean, Bambi is obviously a Disney movie, which has probably been scrubbed by Disney Plus because God knows we can't show sadness. We can't show violence. There might even be something racist in Bambi. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while.
It's possible.
I know like half of like the Disney, they were like, hey, we're going to put the streaming app together. We're going to shove it full of all the Disney stuff. Yeah, half your shit's racist. Fuck us.
Now, Mr. Marv Newland would have spent $2,149.98 today on that film.
Okay. Well worth it. Well worth it.
I think so.
Chris, this has been fun. I always enjoy talking to you. I always enjoy talking to you. We had a fun little discussion here with the silly, stupid book. Sure. What do you say we call it a night?
I think we should tap out.
All right. Go ahead and do your plugs.
Sure. You could find me if for any reason you might want to over at chrisandreggie.podbean.com and chrisisoninfiniteearths.com. Still doing X-Lapsed and variations of X-Lapsed. Got 161 episodes of the main show out. The weekends see a show called Generation X-Lapsed, where I'm looking at the unfortunate Volume 2 of Generation X from around 2017. One of the books that led to me actually running for the hills away from the X-Men property and franchise back in the day. And revisiting it, or actually visiting most of it for the first time, because like I said, I ran away. So that is chrisandreggie.podbean.com. Available everywhere you want to hear noise, or anywhere you find noise anyway. You can find me on Twitter at Ace Comics.
Speaking of noise, use our link, getamazonmusic.com, getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network for 330 days of Amazon Music, and you can hear all the noise you want. You can hear noise
metal. How
about
that song that I was just reciting earlier in the episode here to keep myself awake?
You could do that.
Do they have the Perfect Strangers theme song on Amazon Music?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure there's a compilation of television theme songs that is available.
Now I am so happy I do the Dance of Joy.
Na da 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 da. whatever you're into, if you want to hear the Godzilla soundtrack, if you want to hear the Godzilla King and the Monsters soundtrack that featured the cover of Blue Oyster Cult's Godzilla by Serge Tanjian from that's the one. From System of a Down, you can do that as well. It's all there. It's all there for you at AmazonMusic.com. All right. In the meantime, because we are doing Godzilla and King Kong stuff this week, And I've changed everything up because what we were doing, we are no longer doing, and we're doing other things. But we did do, already, a review of Godzilla vs. Kong. We had ourselves a nice... Robert Winfrey and I had a nice argument, and Alexis Haina questioned her life choices. Tomorrow, speaking of questioning one's life choices, we were going to do a comic book, but I tossed that in the trash can, and I said, we're not doing that anymore. Instead, we're going to do a commentary. Because who doesn't love to hear the Rattlers and Broadcasting Gang and my children, who are just rising in popularity on YouTube, talk over movies? So this being Godzilla vs. Kong week, we're going to talk over and provide commentary for the 1962 hit classic King Kong vs. Godzilla. Are you excited, Chris, to hear that?
There's already one of these?
Yes, in 1962.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, sir. But we're not done yet. Nope. We close out this week of Titan loveliness with Peter Jackson's, the aforementioned Peter Jackson's King Kong from 2005. We will be putting it on trial. I will be prosecuting it, and Sean will be defending it. So that'll be fun. And then it's Flashback Friday, every Friday for the foreseeable future. The archives are open, and we are dumping all the way back from 2013 this week because hashtag restore the Snyderverse, you fans, you. We are releasing our 2013 review of Man of Steel. And then it's WrestleMania weekend. Oh boy, Podsman. Yes. And we are celebrating WrestleMania Night 1 by releasing our interview with comic creator Ed Koonlin.
Canell.
Thank you. Canell. He wrote Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia. We had him on the show. He told us all about it. He did the plot synopsis for me because God knows I didn't want to. And we had a great discussion. That is coming your way April 10th. On April 11th, we're back into the archives again, and we are re-airing a show that myself, Gavin Napier, and Pat Mullen did, an entire show called In Defense of the Ultimate Warrior. Because we love the Ultimate Warrior on this network. I did not one, not two, but three different shows just on the Ultimate Warrior in the years that I was on Blog Talk Radio. And this was the first one. Can you believe it, Christian?
Wonderful.
Yes, sir. In the meantime, we did a whole shitload of Pacific Rim stuff last week. Chris was there to do Tales from Year Zero. We reviewed Pacific Rim the Black. We released an old archive review of Tomahawk Oddfellows, and then we reviewed the new Tomahawk Tonic Immobility. We did a Long Road to Ruin for the two Pacific Rim movies proper, and then it was Flashback Friday as we released our 2013 review of Pacific Rim, one of the very first movie reviews we ever did on this network, and myself and Chris Sheehan and Robert Winfrey did an alternative commentary for MLW Never Say Never.
Wrong, Chris.
Did I say Sheehan?
You did.
I meant Chris Bailey, Chris Bailey, Chris Bailey. How do you do? You how go. Do you do? How do you do?
People might actually listen to it now.
Oh, we love you, Chris. Sheehan. All right, Chris, thank you for coming on your sport tonight.
Absolutely.
We'll try to have you on for something that doesn't melt your brain next time, I promise.
Something Fingers that might, crossed.
Something that might make you laugh, might make you think. How about that?
There we go.
In the meantime, in between time, I'm Mark Rattledge. Be well, be safe, and behave.